During the 50-year life of Hope Presbyterian Church, there have been 6 called ministers and 2 long-term pastors. While some could not be with us today, we indeed have 4 of these individuals with their spouses to help us celebrate. Beginning in 1966, these include organizing pastor Reverend Jack W. Ewart, followed in chronological order by the Reverend Robert Bryan, Robert Bob Walkup, Reverend Thomas James, as we lovingly know him, T.J. Thompson, and wife Mel, interim pastor James Cummings and wife Marilyn, Reverend Peter Dombrowski, interim pastor Reverend John Harris and wife Gretchen, Reverend Laura Kelsey and son Aaron. I've also noticed there are a few of past staff here today that we want to also acknowledge. Choir director Marlene Abdo and husband Mark. It's here. I just read over it. And I believe Ken Anderson is here, also our previous choir director. Carol Freitag? I missed her. I'm sorry. Carol and Walt Freitag. Excuse me. My bad. You're written down. I just overlooked it. All these individuals, through their loving ministry to this place, transformed and developed Hope Church through its congregation into what we know today and have truly become grateful for. While there are certainly many things I could individually say about the 4 here with us today, all have stood out in a variety of differing ways, their talents and a love for God's work at Hope Church, thus enriching this congregation to succeed for these 50 years. Now, before we actually proceed, I think we owe a gratitude of thanks for the 50th anniversary planning committee and the building and grounds for helping spruce up the facilities. Also, be sure you look at the bulletin for the upcoming events of this week. I failed to mention also, Betts and Martha Huntley are here. Betts has filled in numerous times when we needed a spur of the moment last fill-in or planned staff for that day. So, now we have a special video from Reverend Bob Walkup.
Happy anniversary, Hope. We are so glad that you're having your 50th celebration, and we wish we could be with you, but perhaps a little later on. We had a great time being in ministry with you there. Our time was over a period of about 12 years, and we learned a lot. I think that was the place in my life where I matured in my pastoral care and in my preaching. It was really good. Thank you for the opportunity to learn about the Lord and to serve you in an effective way, I think. So Ann and I have had a great time just thinking about the celebration for you, and we want to extend our love to you.
We are now in retirement, which is a wonderful time in life. We live in Columbia, South Carolina, and we are enjoying time with our family. Mark and his wife Ruth live in Virginia. Julie and her husband Adrian and our 2 precious grandchildren are nearby in Irmo, South Carolina. And we are so grateful to have this time in life to enjoy relaxation and time with family and friends.
May God richly bless you and all of those who will follow you at Hope Church. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
But we're going to do something a little bit different this morning. Anyone in the congregation that was a child during any of the 6 ministries Come up. Please come forward.
There's room over here. Come on down in front. Good morning. I got a special name tag here. And it says, Reverend T.J. Thompson, Hope Church, 50 years love and service. And as we were doing name tags this morning, I had a thought. You know, name tags are to help us know who other people are, for you to know who I am and for me to know who you are. And I love name tags because it makes it seem like you know who people are, and it helps. And I was thinking about a story about a zoo where the animals decided all to wear name tags. It was the giraffe's idea. She said, I'm going to wear a name tag and it's going to tell people, hello, my name is Giraffe. She gave a name tag to the lion. Hello, my name is the lion. She gave a name tag to the elephant. Hello, my name is the elephant. All the animals in the zoo got a name tag. But the monkey decided to do something really tricky, like Lindsay decided to do with having all of you come up here. The monkey decided to change everybody's name tag. And so when they all fell asleep, the monkey went around and changed everybody's name tag. So the next morning when they all woke up and people began to arrive at the zoo, the lion's name tag read, hello, my name is Zebra. And the lion's name tag said, hello, my name is Alligator. And the elephant said, my name is Penguin. And everybody started to laugh when they saw these strange name tags on the animals, and the animals weren't happy. But the monkey came along and said, oh, what's the problem? Everybody knows who we are. Everybody knows who a giraffe is and who a lion is because of our shape and because of what we do. It's all unique. Made me stop and think. You know, what if we all walked around with a name tag that said, hello, I'm a Christian. And then I thought, you know, we don't need those name tags. Because there's a passage of Scripture that says, you will know them by their fruits. So what we say and what we do tells everybody else who we are and who we belong to. So when you think about, hello, my name is TJ, well, actually, my name is TJ, but I'm a child of God, and I believe in Jesus, and I hope my actions and my words show that to everyone else. If you'll hold somebody's hand, and let's pray. Please pray after me. Eternal God, thank you for name tags. Thank you for Jesus. And thank you for giving us the opportunity to say and do what he asked us to follow him and make that our name tag. Amen. Thank you so much. I want to follow up the thought about bearing fruit with the fruits of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, faithfulness, goodness, gentleness, self-control, that are listed by Paul in his letter to Galatians. These windows that are here, the four over here, one over here, and one in the bride's room, as we called it when we built this building, or when the building was built, are all fruits of the Spirit. These windows were sponsored by different people, and they chose what they wanted the window to be. On the outside of this building, I don't know how many people have ever paid attention to it, but is a sign that says, "Be doers of the word and hearers only," from the book of James. Hope Presbyterian Church has always been about being doers of the word and not hearers only. Not only did we participate in being the word here, but in other places, as Wayne has said, there was always mission work going on, whether it was in the Charlotte, or in the Clearwater area, the St. Petersburg area, the Central Florida area, or other places. There was always something taking place that this congregation was involved in doing. The words that are over the wall, the doors as you come in, several of the ladies in the church, when we were thinking about building, came and said, "We want to have some kind of a statement." And the words, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength," were chosen and put over the doorways as we came in and as we came in today to worship. And if you'll notice when you leave, if you haven't noticed it before, the words "sending us out into the world, love your neighbor as yourself, do what you have heard in worship." Those are all special to me, special memories. I wear some scars from having had the privilege of working on this building when we were building it. I remember when in 1989, the session was talking about it, and one of the people on the session said, "What do you want people to feel when they walk in the building?" And we listed a whole litany of things, and that's what we worked on doing. And we were hearing from various people that that was being accomplished. One of the things was to not have the choir be center stage, but to have the choir be in an area where they were helping the congregation sing. And so the choir is where it is. And then this particular area, the altar area, was a mistake. I came to work one Friday, my day off, and the superintendent came to me and he said, "Right now, you're not an employee, you are the pastor, and we need a decision made." "Excuse me?" He said, "We poured concrete yesterday, we poured the altar area." He said, "We made a mistake because we measured it from this front area of the steeple area instead of the back wall. So we've got a lot of extra concrete. We've already talked to Wayne. He's already looked at the seating chart. If you keep it the way it is, you're going to lose 10 seats. But that's not the original plan. So we want you to tell us what to do." I said, "Well, how much is it going to cost to take it out?" $30,000. I said, "Leave it." Now, the first Sunday we were in here was Palm Sunday. We had 35 children come up, as we did all of this group. And I looked out at Don and I said, "Don, this is why this stage, this altar area is as big as it is. And it has had weddings, it has had funerals, it has had baptisms, it has had Carol Freitag's programs for children and adults. There have been all kinds of things happening up here that if it was a smaller area, it wouldn't have happened. And I have to tell you, I miss it where I am. I have a little tiny area. It's nothing like this at all. Let me tell you a little bit about, wanted to talk about family. Mel and I are now 7 grandkids in. she was talking to Kevin and his wife and saying, when are you guys going to have grandkids for us? They had a dog. And then they announced that they were going to have a son. So they had a son. And within 4.5 years, we had 7 grandkids. Everybody got busy. Kevin and Angela have Cole and Kate. Cole is just turned 5 in January. Kate is 3. They live in Severna Park, Maryland, which is between Baltimore and Annapolis. Peter and his wife, Barrett, have 3 children. They have a daughter, Ella Grace, who is 3. Just turned 3, actually, on Friday. They have a son, Luke, who's 2, and a newborn who was just born in October named Noah. And Peter and his wife are just in the process of moving to Lynchburg, Virginia, where he is the pastor of the First Presbyterian Church and will have his first Sunday there today. Sarah and Adam have been married 6 years, and they have 2 little boys, Davis, who's 3, and Abram, who just turned a year old, and they live in Charlotte, not too far from our church, and not too far from us, so we get to see them a lot. One of the things about this building and about all of you is you can have a building for a church, but the church is not the building. The church is the people. You can have a church without the building because you have the people. And these years that we spent here are so memorable to us because it was the formative years for many of you and for us with our families and all of those children growing up here together and maturing together. And it's wonderful to see some of those children now adults with their own children, and what a legacy for this congregation, especially for those of you who have stayed. 2 more things briefly. This window was put in here to remind us of the sacraments and how sacred this space is. There's baptism in it, a bowl. You have the dove with the wheat. You have the Holy Spirit coming down. So you have communion and baptism in a very unique way. And then over here, Hope's symbol has always been a ship. And when it was first started, I think Bob started it. Bob Walkup. When it was first started, it was a ship that was at sea, but it was a very quiet thing. So it was a ship in the midst of a storm to provide calm. That was a great part of Bob's ministry. This ship was designed to say, not only is it to provide a calm in the midst of a storm, but it's to show that we do go out and do the work of the word that we learn in here. You see the net and you see the fish, and the ship is at sail the way Hope Presbyterian Church has always been, moving from generation to generation, sharing the word of God. One last thing. November of 1989, we came into this building and it didn't look like this. It was a shell. Concrete block everywhere. We gave everybody a magic marker and we said, write a message to the next generation, generation, generation. People wrote on these walls before they were covered up. I walked into this bell tower to see if there was still anything on the wall, and there was. When this building and in future generations, if it ever comes down, there will be a message to those who take it down about the beauty of this congregation and the people who made it what it is. Thank you.
J. Just so you know, TJ, I have a little bit different recollection of the pouring of the concrete here. And but we'll leave it at that. But just so you know, in current construction terminology, this was not a mistake. It was a field adjustment. There's one other thing I have to tell you, too, that's unique about the New Testament reading you're about to hear is this morning I opened up a Bible that was my mom's, and you know how they have the little divider that you can mark specific places. I opened it up, and it's opened up to John chapter 13. My wife reminded me, hey, that's a living Bible. It's probably not going to have the same exact verbiage that Bryce is going to have on the screen or is in your pew hymnal. So I picked up another Bible out of the rack, and it's one that I picked up here from a garage sale. It's marked exactly John 13, so it's obvious that there's something to this particular New Testament reading. John chapter 13, verses 34 and 35. Hear the word of the God, of our God. A new commandment I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another.
Hear the word of the Lord from Romans, the 12th chapter. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourselves more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the measure of faith that God has given you. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to one another. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I need to say, in response to TJ's talking about his family, we are not old enough to have grandkids yet. Actually, neither one of our sons has been interested in women, so they are not married. And since our sons seldom got over here, you really don't remember them at all. I need to tell you that between the time we left here and now, Marilyn has been ordained. She was a chaplain at St. Joseph Children's Hospital for 10 years, and now is the visitation pastor at First Presbyterian Church in Lakeland. She is the right Reverend Cummings, and I'm the wrong Reverend Cummings. It never ceases to amaze me that you even remember who I am. I was the interim pastor here for 17 months and left here over 19 years ago. Maybe the reason you remember me comes from the same reason I remember you. I still cry, by the way. I remember you with great love. Our time here, and I say our because Marilyn came with me when she was not in chaplain's training at Tampa General. Our time here was one of great joy and fun. We found you to be a vibrant congregation, which is a tribute to TJ. Now, the most outstanding memory was the people. You were, and hopefully still are, one of the more loving groups that I have ever been with. The theology in the congregation was very diverse, yet it was the caring that you had for each other that bonded you together. I remember if I got too conservative in some of my sermons, the liberals would let me know with no And if I got too liberal, then the conservatives would have a field day. I loved it. I always love when people disagree with me. It means they are listening, number one, but it also challenges me to figure out what my theology would be. Now, one special memory has been brought back to me several times already today was the football sermon. I had preached it several times in the past and have preached it a couple of times since. The enthusiasm of you all at that sermon was the highlight of my ministry. I remember the pep band that sat over there in the corner under that window. It had the regular band instruments, but it also had a large group of kazoos. The enthusiasm of that group helped make the whole day great. Now, the cheerleaders were outstanding, and I know some of you that weren't here are now wondering what in the world kind of sermon that was, but I think it was a pretty good one. The cheerleaders were outstanding, and they got the whole congregation to cheer loudly for God. It was a special service. Hopefully, it was also a worshipful service for our Lord. Now, I commuted every day, or every day that I came over here, which was most days, which is 60 miles one way from our house in Lakeland. I was driving an old station wagon, and while making the commute, the speedometer turned over to 239,000 miles. That's the distance to the moon. So the car became known as the moon car. And by the way, the car got almost to 260,000 miles before it died. I tried to collect life insurance, but the insurance company thought I was absolutely crazy. Now, when I said our time here, I could have also meant our dog. We had a Bedlington Terrier, which came with me every day. Pippin was his name, and he would sleep on a pad in the office. He was so thin that when he was lying on his side, one of the elders called him roadkill. On the commute, we used to have some very interesting discussions, though Pippin really didn't say too much. Pippin died 8 years after we were here at age 16. Hope Church has a big place in my heart and always will. I wish we lived closer so that we could be more a part of you all. May the Lord bless you richly as you continue to serve Him.
Let me just see a poll, if you would raise your hand if you were here for that Super Bowl sermon. One of the greatest that I've heard. Thank you for that. Peter Dombrowski could not be here today, but he did send a letter that I will read to you now before John Harris comes up to share. Dear brothers and sisters of Hope Presbyterian Church, Cynthia and I thank our Father in Heaven for you and for our years of ministry at Hope. Those 10 years provided us with wonderful friendships, many opportunities for spiritual growth, and unforgettable memories. We moved to Clearwater from Redding, California, where I had been an associate pastor. Hope gave me my first opportunity to be a solo pastor, and many of you were very patient, loving, and supportive while I grew as a pastor and a disciple of Jesus Christ. My desire is that you remember what compelled me, my love of the Word of God, and my passion for the gospel of Jesus Christ. This led us to participate together in many amazing ministries. Among those were the development of a sister church, Mount Moriah Baptist Church, and our annual time of communion together. a growing men's ministry, Vita de Cristo weekends, Kairos prison retreats, Wednesday night alive dinners and Bible studies, many creative cantanas. What is it, Marlene? Cantata. There we go. And children's musical programs, Memorial Day pig roast at Cedar Kirk, and new member pork roast barbecue dinners. Personally, I rejoiced at the birth of our fifth child, Gabe, began the long journey toward my doctorate degree, mourned the loss of my good friend, Richard Hosking, and was honored to be the moderator of the Presbytery of Tampa Bay. My prayer for you as you journey into the future comes from Philippians chapter 1, verses 9 through 11. And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. Your brother and friend, Pastor Peter Dombrowski.
When you ask a group of preachers to make a speech, each one of them on the same thing, but each one of the speeches colored and shaped by their own experiences, you are opening yourself to a lot of flood of memories across the years. Many of them will be supportive of each other as one memory sort of builds on the previous memory, and then you get it wrapped up. And each one, though, will put its own flavoring and spices into that. Before we have our prayer time together, I would like to call your recollection. When I was here, being a faithful Presbyterian pastor, having received a sort of instructions and counsel from the presbytery as some things that you ought to do while you are an interim, and then letting all of that take shape in the context of the actual group that you have to work with, you sometimes come out with a stew that's a little bit different than the other folks had expected. I want to just refresh your memory a little bit on something that's not so remote in the history that many of you, I expect, will remember it and will have been a part of it. One of the things that I had been instructed to do by presbytery, because this is what all of our interim pastors were supposed to do at that time, is to help you rethink and reshape perhaps your mission statement and some of your structures and the things that you're trying to do and come together in some time a coalition. That now then, this is the mission statement that this particular congregation wants to be their guide in this particular era. And so we've been working on that for several months. Maybe some of you and perhaps even most of you didn't know what we were doing back, you know, in the background, but we were trying to shape a congregation that would put its mission statement together. And one of the guides we used for that is a guide that was fairly familiar back in the 90s and maybe even the 80s, but certainly in the 70s. And that is that you get a group of your leaders to gather and you let the leaders that you have gathered write down their favorite verbs, V-E-R-B, you know, not a noun but a verb. And then you go through the list that the whole group has compiled and see which ones are mentioned most often. When you get that identified, then those verbs will help you shape a mission statement, because those verbs are what your congregation are going to be doing. You can try to get them to go into different directions, but it takes time and guidance and teaching and so forth and so on. But these verbs that people have said are their favorite verbs, that's basically what your congregation is going to do. Now, how many of you, other than me, remember what the favorite three verbs were? That's what I thought. Eat. We're going to do that after a while. Pray. We're going to do that in just a few minutes. Third verb, argue. Argue, like in fuss. Gripe, disagree vigorously for your own particular point of view. I could have almost been an accurate forecaster of those verbs. In those days, this congregation was challenged. Events of a recent nature had taken place, creating a kind of difficulty to trust. Boundaries were ignored, personal relationship boundaries. Responsibilities that had been given by the congregation to others were being challenged. It was a difficult time. But it was a time that I think has borne fruit, and growth has occurred. Understandings have been broadened, and ministry opportunities are again very high. Now, as I reflect on this, I also have a tendency to pick out certain events that took place. The first time I ever stepped on this property was a Saturday evening. Gretchen and I had come this way to visit with my sister, who lives not too far away. And I had been asked to drop my PIF, that's personal information form, you know, all the stuff about me, because the committee wanted to consider me as an interim pastor, and we've got this document we're supposed to let. And so I was supposed to bring it by on Saturday afternoon, drop it in the mail pouch, crack in the door, and we'd come over here to do that. While I was here, coming out from around the corner of the building was what we would commonly call a street person. 4 o'clock in the afternoon, long time before anybody else would be here, long time since anybody else had been here. And now there was one guy I didn't know in a place where I didn't know, Gretchen in the car and me out in the building trying to find your office as to where to drop this. And we were one on one. He wanted something to eat. I sure was glad I had a $5 bill. That seemed to make him happy. I didn't know him. I've since found out that it was a person that this congregation had ministered to in many different kinds of ways. Lindsay might remember the guy's name. I don't know. I can't remember. Bernie. Okay. Anyhow, my anxiety went much higher than his. But the $5 seemed to comfort both him and me. So we went our merry way, but I was introduced to some of your ministry without having anything to do with it. I remember also the Sunday after the terrible tragedy in Haiti. Hundreds and hundreds of people killed, homes destroyed. And just in an impulse, without having checked with anybody, on that Sunday morning after that event, I announced that we were going to take up an offering. Well, Session hadn't approved that. I hadn't asked anybody. There hadn't been much time in the establishment of the situation at Haiti and this Sunday morning. So just out of my own initiative, I said, let's take an offering. And about that time, Wayne White came walking down the aisle, and I wondered, what on earth? He's here to correct me and tell me I'm out of order and we didn't get Session permission. No, he had a bowl that the Haitian Presbyterian Christian Church had given to you, thanking you for your ministry to them. And in that, I learned again about your ministry away from here. I knew nothing about it. I since learned some things, but I knew nothing about it. But Wayne was able to bring that memory, and the offering resulted in the congregation financing two, three, four houses. I don't remember how many, but the congregation as a whole over a period of time built several houses in Haiti. Your ministry reached out far from here, even though it's a congregation that likes to eat, pray, and argue. One other quick memory, and then we pray. I think only one time since my ordination in 1959, that's a few years ago, but that's when I started at this, only one time have I missed a Sunday morning service where I was scheduled to be a spokesman, to have anything to do in the service. And Gretchen and I had spent the better part of Saturday afternoon and early evening, because I didn't feel well. I knew I didn't feel well. I knew I wasn't good. Something was going on. And we tried to find somebody to supply the pulpit in my absence, because I really didn't think I would be here on Sunday. We couldn't find anybody. So finally, about midnight, I told Gretchen, we'll just wait till in the morning about 6 o'clock, and I'll call Wayne, who's clerk of the session, and tell him I can't be there, and he's in charge. That is exactly what I did. About 6 o'clock, we called Wayne and told him that I wouldn't be able to come to church, and would he get somebody here to help him, and you all go ahead. Oh, and by the way, Wayne, we've got a 50th wedding anniversary renewal of vows. Bob and Connie want this to be celebrated. And I've got it written out. We will email it to you. Take care of it. Well, shortly after that phone, I was in the emergency room at St. Joseph. Wayne was leading you in worship, and the surgeon was busy on me. And I learned once again that this congregation is filled with people who are capable and willing and can do a lot of things, even on a moment's notice. Your leadership is secure. Sometimes you have your arguments. Tone it down a little bit, like Paul counseled the Corinthian church to do. But still have those kinds of discussions and share and pray and eat. We have one request. Pray that God will forgive me of my sins and wash me clean. Confidential, so I won't say who, but that is one of our prayers. Pray with me now. Take just a moment to say a prayer to Almighty God on your own behalf, for you and your needs. your joys and thanksgivings. Pray now for the ministry of your church. Every opportunity that you have to witness to the gospel of Jesus Christ, to say a good and kind word on his behalf, to pass out the cups of cold water, the food, and just a human touch that says, God bless you. Pray now for the leaders of your church, those people who receive the phone calls about emergencies, the people, whoever they are, that become aware of human need. Broaden your prayers now to include all who witness under the name of Presbyterian, but in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord of Lords, King of Kings, Savior of the world. Let those prayers reach out into all of the places where people are gathered in the name of Jesus and who worship him, no matter what their color, their ethnicity, or their language. They look to the one Jesus. Hear the prayers now, Holy Father, for your people. Prayers that reach out far from this place so that they include all of your people in all of the world, in all of this time. Bringing our prayers closer to home, Heavenly Father, in a time of political discussion and electoral candidating, politicking for a particular point of view or a particular party, or perhaps even just against somebody. Hear the prayers of your people. It is your will with that we wish to be done. And so guide every discussion, be a part of every casting ballot. May your glorious will be done in the life of the people of our country and in the lives of the people of the world. The countries and all nations that surround us. May peace and joy and prosperity and free justice and enough food and enough medicines where there is need. Lift up your people not only in this place and bless their ministry, but lift up your people across the globe and the ministry of every person. For we give you thanks. We need your blessings. We need your counsel. Warm our hearts. Help us minds to be sharp. And give us courage. And may we serve you gloriously in all the days that you give to us in the future, as we give you thanks for 50 years in this place. We make this name in the name of your Son, whom we serve and whose we are every day and every moment of that day. Amen.
Good morning. What a beautiful day it is to praise the Lord together. Amen. We certainly are gathering together in the love of Jesus Christ. And as I see everyone gathered in God's name, we are truly blessed. On such days like these of blessing, we can't help but give back a portion to our loving and gracious God. May we do so now. It is so good to be back here at Hope. It is such a good day to be here together. I just want to take a moment and just go down memory lane a little bit. And I wanted to tell you how I began at Hope before I actually started, when I went to get interviewed by the presbytery, I showed up here to meet with Pastor Harris, and Lindsay Riddle took my son, Aaron, with her boys out to the park to play. So before we even started here, we were being loved by Hope. One thing that anyone who walks through these doors knows is that it doesn't matter who you are. The second you walk through that door, the love of Jesus Christ is on you. The love of Jesus Christ is felt. You know that you are loved and you are welcomed. It always hit me in a special way every day I have been here, as it is today. And I wanted to thank everyone for loving us. As I've served churches and lived in the north and the south and the east and the west, there is no church that I've ever come across like Hope. I used to call Hope the hippie church. And I was told that when it began, it was not the hippie church. However, the way it is in my memory is a bunch of folks that have been going out to Cedar Kirk for how many ever years, and a couple guys being there getting the pig going when you had to stay up and keep it going. And I visualize the beer drinking as this is transpiring, because I've seen pictures with the beer cans next to the grill. I know all your secrets. And then people coming out and looking for the shark's teeth, and swimming, and line dancing, and spending time together. And then after everyone goes to bed, well, I mean the kids go to bed, everyone has their bottle and their cards to continue the merrymaking. Hope is built on that love, on that peace, on that gentleness. My first week I was here, one of the members came into my office and had trouble with the PCUSA and didn't agree with women pastors. And my response was to hug him and tell him that I love him. Because we want everyone to be where they can be loved and serve the Lord with all they've got. When we had discussions regarding some of the big button issues in the PCUSA and ordination, and we had a meeting here in the sanctuary, I knew in that moment, I said, oh Lord, what am I getting myself into? But I also knew how we talked with each other demonstrated that love. And what I saw was, I would say about every single voice that was spoke demonstrated that love. How we live, what we say, how we embrace each other, unity in conflict, demonstrates the love of Jesus Christ. And that's what I take from this place, a people that love with all they have, with their body, their mind, their spirit, their circumstance. They throw everything they have into loving and caring, and being a disciple of Jesus Christ. I've been in churches north and south and east and west, and that is not felt in many, many congregations the way it's felt here. Thank you for loving us with all that you have. I also had many experiences with Bernie, Pastor Harris's friend. And Bernie, I'm sorry, is one of my favorite people that was ever invented by God. He also is the reason that one of my favorite activities when I was bored was going and checking the bushes for things. And I would tell Lindsay, my super right-hand woman, I love her so much, I would tell her, I'm going on my trek, and if I don't come back, you'll know where to find the body. because right out here, there was a secret way to get into the bushes. And we had, Bernie, I believe, had dug out all the ferns, so he had his own campground in our bushes. And every once in a while, there'd be someone who came. One day, my best friend Lindsay right here, and I think anyone who hangs out in the office with her is their new best friend, so we're all Lindsay's best friend. She comes into the courtyard and sees somebody sleeping by the water fountain. And he comes out and he says to her, "Don't touch me, I have AIDS." Poor Lindsay. Poor Lindsay. Later he goes on over next door, and I decide I'm going to go for a walk. He had all these bags, and I found his 6 bags of stuff right here in the bushes. And so what do? I do what I do when I don't want folks camping on the church grounds. I go and take all the bags and put them in the dumpster, and then later they come and get them out of the dumpster and don't sleep here. And so Lindsay's like, "I can't believe you did that." Being a pastor at Hope is fearless, right? Every moment is fun. You get to walk around, pick up trash, see what you can find. Someone may be sleeping right out here while you're preparing the PowerPoint on a Saturday night at about 10 o'clock and having a ball. Friends, thank you for welcoming me back and allowing us to be together on this beautiful day. And thank you for loving our family and allowing my son to acolyte the instant he shows back in this place. The greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and mind and strength, and the second is love it like it, to love your neighbor as yourself. Thank you for the love of God and the love of neighbor being the keystone of Hope Presbyterian Church.
Thank you to all who have come back to be a part of this. We certainly appreciate that and being a part of our 50 years. May we continue to progress for another 50 years.
I just wanted to give some brief directions for after church. The anniversary planning committee has a few hints, suggestions, and requests before we head off to the luncheon. While leaving the sanctuary, begin to watch our Hope timeline as you make your way down to Hambly Hall. With such a wonderful turnout that we've had today, we'll need to have people sitting both inside and out. We have little tents, so you don't have to be too hot. And it's wonderful that God has blessed us with such a beautiful day, so we'll all be fine, right? Find your seat first, and then we will start the serving line as soon as possible. Chris is going to give the blessing now, so we won't have to do that once we get down there. And drinks will be served at your table. In the Hope tradition, our committee hopes you enjoy our pig roast luncheon.
This has been a wonderful day, and I've been so pleased, and I cried probably half a dozen times, you know, seeing people that I haven't seen, people that we love, people that we miss, and to think that this is what God has wrought. We are community. With that, I'll do my job. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the food that has been prepared for us today. We thank you for the many gifts you've given us, including the gift of community through our church. We are thankful for the return of our pastors for this celebration. We ask that you be with all of those who were unable to attend this with us today. We ask your blessings on all those gathered here, and we ask that you be with us as we leave this place today to do your work. In Christ's name we pray, and all the people say, Amen.
Go in peace. And may the love of our Lord Jesus Christ and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit and all of our loving folks in this church. Go with you, be with you, until the day we gather before the throne. 50 years from now, 100 years from now, 200 years from now, in the grace of our Lord Jesus, as we are now and will be then. Hallelujah. The Lord reigns. Amen.